Today on Chance Planning, we're going to talk about the movie Shanghai Noon, which you can download pretty much anywhere or stream anywhere. I used Amazon. It was great. The movie was maybe not so great, but the quality was great. Also, please follow us on Twitter at TheChanPod. Like us on Facebook at Chance Planning Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And again, rate and review us. It is making me so angry that you're not rating and reviewing us, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I might do something bad that everyone will regret if you don't rate and review. But really, I do appreciate everyone listening. Please enjoy.
Music. Music.
Hey, Chan boys and Chan girls, you're listening to Chansplaining, the only podcast that talks about Jackie Chan and only Jackie Chan. I'm here with the Chan boys, Sonny Chang. Jordan Asulin. Are you ready?
Oh, he got the good one.
And me, Big Daddy Matt.
Ooh.
We're gonna listen to this whole thing. Show me some respect.
I know who that is. That's Paul Bearer's friend.
It's his son, The Undertaker.
Oh, I can't.
I wasn't sure if we were allowed to.
This is talk a long one.
Show respect to the song. That's probably too much.
Are we allowed?
Anymore.
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to do that.
The Undertaker does most of the heavy lifting in that entrance.
It's true. I've been listening to a Sopranos review podcast, and they use songs that are completely licensed for long periods of time. So I think we're clean. We're clear to do so.
But they're not messing with Vince McMahon. He's on another level.
They're messing with HBO, which might have more power than Vince McMahon, to be honest with you.
They might, but they don't wield it.
It's true. How are you doing, guys? We've officially launched as well as
Hell
we could.
Yeah.
How's the week been?
Yeah, it's been great. We got we're
people
tweeting
have been
at
recognizing
people.
My voice on the streets.
Yeah, they recognized your voice. They saw you.
They saw your face and they went, "It's gotta be him." Yeah. I've been thinking about it for four days. It's gotta be Sonny. What happens when they recognize you?
They just like give me a nod and like do a little kung fu stance, which I think is racist, but what can you do?
Sonny, I don't think they're recognizing you. I think they're just being racist to you. I don't think anyone knows who you are. They're trying to hurt your feelings.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, yeah,
Matt.
That's true.
I think everybody knows who Sonny is.
It might be true.
I got into a scuffle with the Wendy's brand ambassador for who was the better brand ambassador. And I lost. So.
Yeah, it's not you. It's not you.
Well, is Wendy the brand ambassador? The like cartoon woman?
No, it's a very smart. It must not be a one person. It has to be a whole team to be that smart.
I don't know. So to give context to what Jordan is saying, Wendy's tweeted at A24 about Lady Bird.
Wendy's and, like, has been tweeting about everything.
Yeah,
Wendy's
a bunch of
their
others. I think I don't think Wendy's is even the best fast food social media. I think that belongs to Arby's.
Really?
Maybe.
Arby's makes
the
like
meat?
Really obscure anime references in their like Twitter pictures.
Gross. Like Yuri on Ice or like
yeah,
actual
and like
obscure.
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh my god.
Yeah. They do that a lot.
That's crazy. I heard an interesting anime thing recently. This is tangentially related to Jackie Chan as it shares a continent with him.
Yes.
My friend had his identity stolen at the bank. I won't say what his name is as to not have it stolen again. And the man who helped him recover it, they were just talking, and he was a huge anime fan. And my friend said, okay, listen, if you can like actually do this and get all my money back that was stolen by like rascals...
I will buy you the Cowboy Bebop box set. And the guy's like, oh, that's awesome. I love anime, but I don't know what Cowboy Bebop is.
What?
And I said, what the fuck is this? What kind of weeb doesn't know what fucking Cowboy Bebop is?
How much money was still... Because, like, that's not a cheap box set.
It was, like, his savings. Like, his life savings were stolen, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
It was a... They, like, took just enough that it wouldn't set off the thing in your account that's, like, you're below your balance.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, but he managed to get it back right before going to Iceland.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I guess that's a tip. If anybody knows any of my friends and knows that they went to Iceland, which is a couple people because it's really cheap right now, you could figure out who it is. His name rhymes with Hipple H.
Huh.
If that's a hint at all. All right, enough of this. We're chan-splaining. We barely talk chan at all. Today we're talking about Shanghai Noon.
I want to talk about this movie. I know we have a lot to do before we talk about it,
yeah,
but I'm excited.
We'll get to it.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited, but I think... I'm not going to give any spoiler
alerts,
but
into
I think
it
I... Yeah, let's not get into it yet. Do you guys want to open up a little piece of, do a little bit of Chan fiction, or do you want to talk about a little conspiracy that we've been noticed that's been going on with our podcast?
Oh, you know the people want to hear about the conspiracy.
Is it a new one? Is there a new conspiracy I'm not aware of?
We've been watching Loose Change like gangbusters.
Yeah, Johnny doesn't know. Sonny, I think
is
the
that
reason
what that
you don't
thing's
know
called?
Is because...
Yeah.
No, it's called Johnny. Who Where's Johnny? Is the documentary I'm meant to say. Sonny, you've been MK Ultra'd, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Which is the CIA has kidnapped you and given you sodium pentothal and you can't really remember things and you might be a sex slave now. They might just let you do this podcast for appearances and then they just needle you and then they take you to like North Dakota to fuck. Well, actually, you live in DC, so you could fuck senators really easily.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
It's true. But the day of our launch was the day that Big Bob Mueller came and dropped the bombshell on us because of Mike Flynn.
Yeah.
little Mike.
Little tiny Mike. Is Mike Flynn the one that's like 6'7"?
Yeah,
no,
that's
Mike.
Comey. Comey's
Mike,
real tall.
It's Comey.
Mike Flynn has to be like 5'2". On a good day.
On a good day.
Soaking wet, he's 5'2".
Definitely.
Because usually he's a shrinky dink. yeah, but it came... So, once again, the day we're launched, we got everything ready. I tell Jordan, get this ready for a launch on Tuesday. He goes, okay. Wednesday comes. He goes, I'm going to get it Wednesday. Doesn't come. Thursday comes, the Mueller news drops, stopping us in our tracks, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. And then net neutrality happens, and then that fucking bill that kills poor people happens.
Yeah. But we all know what happened. We all know the government is trying to stop. The Trump administration doesn't want us talking about Jackie Chan. But why?
Yeah. I actually have... Yeah, I have a direct conspiracy about why they don't.
Is it...
So there's... Have you guys ever heard of the website YouGov?
Wait, what is it?
Yes.
It's called YouGov. Yeah. It's a it's owned by a German man who owns another website called Conservative Home Blog. The dude who runs, his name is Steve Shakespeare. I do not shit you. His name is Steve Shakespeare.
Okay, I've never heard of any of this.
All right, well, you didn't go down the rabbit hole like I did, because I don't like being watched.
I
don't want Uncle Sam looking at me when I sleep.
This is...
A couple years ago, they did a study saying who was the most famous, influential man in the world. Number one was Xi Jinping, Prime Minister of China.
Yeah.
Number two, Donald Trump. Number three,
Jackie Chan.
Oh, my
what?
God.
So, you know who number four was? You know number four? Bill fucking Gates. The guy who makes the computer that I run, my Audacity off of that crashed during recordings.
I have a Windows that doesn't connect to the internet.
I see.
Sonny, what are you running off of?
I usually run on a Mac, but today I'm running on Windows.
God damn it.
So, wait, so do...
Break your computer now.
Do we have to get, like, no, Google computers?
We need to get things that run Linux.
I only know what Linux is. I only know how to do coding C++.
C++ is not coding. Linux is an operating system.
No, he's just talking about the grades he gets. But
I don't think you can get us a plus in a grade. So,
and Jordan would know because he's been rocking that C++ for years. He's been going for the plus for a long time.
I've been trying to get that plus, but to no avail.
But I think that they're all trying to destroy Jackie's fame in order to keep, I think, either Trump president or to keep Xi Jinping. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Xi Jinping at the top dog in the spot. So I don't know. They know that we're onto something, and maybe we're going to change the world, and Bob is involved. So I'm going to have to do more research later.
What do they think is going to happen? Is Jackie Chan going to be ascended to, like, world emperor?
I think if we've seen that Trump can become president of America at number fucking 2, you don't think that if Jackie becomes 2, he can become prime minister or I don't even know, I'm bad. Leader of China?
He could be Mr. Bitcoin.
Yeah. What'd you say, Sonny?
President?
Yeah, I think it's president. Well, he could become president of China, and China's the future, so Jackie would rule the future.
He could put his face on every Bitcoin out there.
That'd actually be really funny.
It's just JPEGs of his face on the internet.
It would be. But that's why we haven't been reaching everyone in the world, because we've been silenced at every possible opportunity. And Jordan's internet cut out right when we started recording.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a decent chance that they're listening immediately. Wouldn't it be amazing, though, if, like... Oh, I'm just fantasizing about the power we could have if Jackie became president because of us.
We'd usurp Doughboys. Everybody... If you got an iTunes, it would automatically come with our podcast.
It'd be like you too.
Yeah.
But what forever.
What would our movement be called? The Alt-Chan?
The Alt-Chan? No.
I don't want to be Alt-anything.
We could be the Chantagonists.
Ooh.
Chantagonizing the status quo.
Yeah, we could be the Chantastic Three.
I'd prefer just get a fourth member and be the Chantastic Four.
Yeah, same.
All right, let's get into Chan Fiction, boys. We're burning the midnight oil right now. So, where did I last leave off? It was Jackie and the new kid, right?
Jackie and the new kid, yeah.
Yeah.
And the new boy. Well, you guys know how all these little boys and little girls were in school for learning aerobics and kung fu and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were there to train for the China Drama Academy. And one day, the day came, years down the line for Jackie, mind you, when they were going to actually see a play, to know what a play looked like. And this is the story of Jackie's first play, if you guys are interested in listening. It, of course, has a little bit of Jackie lipping off and some weird stuff. And it's got some Yuen Long drama, and it's exciting. What's Jordan doing right now? Is he jacking off on the camera?
No, he's just fixing the playback volume.
Right on.
All right, good. Okay. So one day, I'm going to try to do this from memory, because I read this like 4 times, because I was really sleepy when I was doing it, so I just kept reading and reading it. One day, Master goes to all the little boys and the little girls, and Master says, "We're not doing afternoon exercises. We're going on a trip, you sons of bitches." Or whatever he would call them.
Yeah.
And all the kids were like, "We don't know where we're going. We never go on trips. This is super, super crazy. I can't believe this." And then they start just like trying to guess where people are going on. Here's Jackie's words. "A trip. This was big news. We buzzed excitedly in small groups, wondering where we might be going. I hope we're going somewhere fun, Yun Bao said, always the fucking optimist. Yun Tai, the like right-hand man, said, yeah, right, we're going to an amusement park. We're going to go on all the rides and eat until we're sick, and then Master will give us foot massages and tuck us into bed. Moron! And then everyone laughed at...
That is a pretty good bit.
Laughed at Yun Bao. But then they went to the bus, because there's a lot of these kids. We quickly got in line, oldest first, youngest last, and set off after Master on the short walk to the bus stop. It was great to be out in the big, real world again, which is a really sad thing to say. Jeez. I feel like they're confined
it's
to this school.
It's the
time.
Allegory of the cave.
Yeah, yeah. So true. Despite the admonishments.
It says admonitions.
That's a typo. Of biggest brother to keep quiet and stay in file, we couldn't help talking and laughing amongst ourselves from sheer joy at leaving the stifling confines of the academy. We made it to the stop in time to catch the big double-decker bus as it pulled into the curb. The driver stared at us in shock as we boarded his vehicle, dozens of small boys and girls in identical outfits. Master didn't even yell at us when we raced up the narrow spiral staircases that led to the bus's upper deck. Yahoo! That's actually what it says. Shouted Yun Kwai, a rowdy boy about my age, who was one of my best friends, when he wasn't being a giant pain in the ass. That's such a weird way to talk about his friend.
Yeah.
He pulled open one of the bus's sliding windows and jammed his body and arms through it, waving at passing pedestrians and hawking loogies at the ones who gave him dirty looks.
Wow.
Even the girls, models of innocence, were pushing and tugging at one another, competing for seats near the windows. Guys, did you guys get real rowdy on field trips too?
I
don't think so. I just sat there.
Me and you, Matt, we used to get rowdy together on field trips.
That sounds bad.
Well, we went on field trips all the time.
Wait, you guys didn't go to the same school? How?
We went to the same camp.
We went to camp. We went every day. We were on a field trip.
What's the craziest bus story you can remember, Jordan? I remember when that kid peed in the bottle and threw it out the window.
Oh yeah, I remember that. We were like stuck in crazy traffic in...
We were in Manhattan.
Yeah. He had to do it. I think literally he was encouraged to, which is the weirdest thing. Because we couldn't stop.
Probably a counselor.
I can't believe that teachers like are excited about chaperoning field trips. That's like the wildest thing.
It's because they get to smoke cigarettes.
Wait, I don't think they want to.
They get to smoke cigarettes.
I honestly don't think that they want to.
There are definitely some cool teachers that are trying to get, like, some chat time with the girl teachers or the boy teachers.
Yeah.
Do kisses at the center.
Oh man.
Fuck. I went on a field trip in fifth grade the day the PlayStation 2 came out, and they left a bunch of kids and parents at the Bronx Zoo.
What?
Was this related to the PlayStation 2 release? Or was it...
I remember because I really wanted the PlayStation 2, and I got it that day because my mom was a grieving widow, and she would just do whatever I wanted at that point in time.
Yeah.
So I had it, and then it took like 2 extra hours to get home because we had to turn around, go back to the Bronx Zoo because we left a parent and the kids they were chaperoning.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Fucked up.
Our senior class.
Also, once saw girls play strip poker on the bus.
Wait, what?
In seventh grade, two girls were playing strip poker on the bus.
At school?
Yeah, school bus. On the way to a field trip or on the way back. I didn't watch, actually. I shouldn't say that, but it was happening near me.
How do you even do that on a bus? I was a camp counselor chaperoning campers when I was in college. And we were like a travel camp. We went on field trips. I don't understand how these people like aren't paying attention to like stuff like this.
The public school teachers, bro. Hardest working men and women in showbiz. They don't got time for that.
They don't care.
They're just working the summers. All they do is grind. Except the summers.
I remember our senior class went to TRL for like their high school week, but everyone got like absolutely hammered on the bus there, and we got into a lot of trouble for it.
Wait, our senior class?
Yeah, you don't remember this? Well, not like everyone, just like specific kids. like some like they got all the kids. Yeah, no, not even. They got like a bunch of idiots together, and they they like got hammered on the bus there, and they were just like clearly drunk on national television. Calhoun High School senior.
What was, was Carson Daly there?
Yeah,
this
think
is probably
so.
After Carson Daly. Carson Daly was still doing TRL in 2008.
Oh, maybe he stopped. Yeah, I guess not.
Wait, I don't know. That was a thing. I have no knowledge of this. There was a huge
check the
when
tapes.
We went. Check the tapes.
Check yeah.
The tapes. I
lock her up.
I went to Rochester with school, and three of my classmates, I guess more, maybe like four of my classmates, got in a huge amount of trouble for like sneaking in alcohol, and they snuck in the alcohol for not just them, like they snuck it in for them and like 15 other people. And
oh, I thought you were gonna say teachers.
No. Like, they got caught, okay. And they took the blame for everybody, and they weren't allowed to go to prom
fucking,
and everything like
wrecked.
That. Yeah, it was rough.
It was Bob Mueller was one of those men.
Yeah, Bob Mueller
doing a service. It was the three finalists for Time Magazine Person of the Year: Bob Mueller, everyone who came out about sexual harassment and sexual aggression, and Colin Kaepernick. Those are the three people that did this for us.
Wait. Bob Mueller was one of the top three?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get back to the book. I bet the China Drama Academy was real strict about their chaperone.
Nice, Sonny. Good work. They weren't. Suddenly, after driving for 20 minutes, the bus stopped, and a familiar bellow from below signaled that it was time for us to disembark. And as we stepped off the bus, all of us found ourselves sitting around, staring in disbelief. Yoon Tai's mouth hung open as if he'd been struck dumb.
They went back?
Yoon Kwai... What?
Did they go back?
No.
No. Never mind.
They ended up, honest to God, at a fucking amusement park.
Oh my God.
They went to an amusement park. And then Yoon Bao asked, "Does this mean we get foot massages too?" He said, "The picture of innocence." So here's the description of the China Drama Academy, and this will give you an idea of what Jackie was trained to do. I think it's pretty interesting. And feel free to comment. Like, I had no idea what China... Like, I really couldn't picture what this looked like. Inside, the room was dark and somewhat smoky. Yoon Bao stumbled over someone's foot and bumped into Yoon Kwai's back. Yoon Kwai pushed him roughly away. One of the younger girls let out a whimper at finding herself trapped behind a small group of strange men. Biggest sister retrieved her and brought her back to our group. This is them online right now. "Don't make noise and don't move about," warned Master. As the rest of the room bustled with people setting into their wooden benches, a clacking noise drew the attention in the front of the hall, where a group of tall yellow curtains hid a nondescript wooden stage. The curtains parted and music began, wailing, keening strings that followed the clipped rhythm of drums and other percussion instruments. Suddenly, with a whirl of fabric and flashing metal, the stage was filled with performers acting out the opening of a grand battle. So this wasn't just acting. They were, like, reenacting fights, which is why they did so many things. We'd practiced these moves for months. We'd learned to paint our faces and modulate our voices, but this was the first time we'd seen these skills in action. "It was all worth it," I thought, looking at the rapt faces of the other audience members. I realized that, more than anything else, I wanted that to be me up there on the stage. I wanted to hear a crowd clapping and cheering and screaming for me, Jackie Chan. We'd seen our future so close, so loud, so real, for the first time. It was like what Biggest Brother had told me my first day at the Academy. This was what we ate, drank, and dreamed for. This is what we lived for. And it had finally arrived. As we buzzed and whispered outside the theater, Master told us that he had business with the theater owner and that we should take the same bus back to the Academy on our own.
Whoa.
As to not have to read this whole thing, I'm just going to give a synopsis of what Jackie Chan did with a little bit of editorializing, if you don't mind.
Of course.
So Jackie Chan and his boy Yoon Bao are getting on the bus. Jackie's got his ticket ready to go. Yoon Bao goes, "Jackie! King Jackie! I can't find my ticket!" Jackie Chan goes, "You can't find your ticket?" And Yoon Bao goes, "No! How am I going to get home? This is China! They won't let a 5-year-old boy ride the bus for free! No way!" And then Jackie goes, okay, well, let's ask Yuen Long for help. He's our biggest brother. Yuen Long says, get the fuck out of here, I'll eat your faces off. And then he kicked Jackie in the nuts. So what Jackie did, being the hero, he called, I think he actually does call Yuen Long a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, so what Jackie decides he's going to do is give Yuen Bao his ticket, and he's going to run home. And so apparently, Jackie Chan ran all the way home from the amusement park and then caught a beating from Yuen Long for disobeying orders. After reading this, I'm starting to call into question some of Jackie's validity of storytelling.
What do you mean? You think it's fake?
He's like 8 years old. How does an 8-year-old who hasn't like been outside of the academy know how to get home in the first place? I do think he could probably run like 15 miles. Like, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
But this kid would have a motor like no other.
So who do you think is coming up with the lies?
Jackie. Mythologizing himself for his presidency.
He is a great storyteller.
Should we talk Shanghai Noon?
Oh yeah, I was about to say. What did we all think? What was your first impression?
I actually didn't like it very much, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
What about you, Jordan?
I think there were funny scenes. I laughed at a couple of things. It definitely is not as good as I remember it, for a lot of reasons.
How good did you remember it be?
Well,
I remember really liking it when I was... It's 2000.
Yeah, I saw it when I was 10 years old.
That was a long time ago.
Sonny, you were 9. Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that? It depends on the month.
Happy birthday, Sonny.
Thank you.
It came out in May.
Yeah, I was 9. Shit. I definitely did not see... This was pre-Rush Hour?
This is post-Rush Hour.
Post-Rush.
Oh, shit.
Rush Hour is his first American big break, I think.
Okay.
It is. It absolutely is. I think it goes Rush Hour, then like Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights, then Rush Hour 2.
Really?
Then The Tuxedo.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's just like a jarring shift in the style of filmmaking from his Hong Kong movies to his American movies. It's like not good at all.
It's just a very sanitized.
The reason why you probably thought it was good when we were younger is just that we didn't have anything to compare it to.
It's true. Coming out of Project A, which was so badass and so interesting, to this, it was very... Did you say sanitized?
Yeah, Jordan said sanitized.
The American Jackie...
I feel sanitized.
The American Jackie Chan is just this, like, Batman figure. He just, like... People are going to like shoot him. They're gonna try and kill him as best that he can, and the best he's gonna try and do is like disarm them or like kind of like knock them out. But he's never willing to like match whatever force is coming at him. I don't like it.
Are you saying you miss that Jackie Chan of Police Story who says homophobic things?
Well, not the homophobic
very
part.
Anti-feminist
but
things.
Project A, I think he was perfect in, and he literally threw a grenade inside of a carpet and murdered a guy. Like,
yeah.
He does, even in The Foreigner, he doesn't kill. He, like, maims, but he doesn't kill.
It seems like American Jackie overall wants less trouble than Hong Kong Jackie.
Oh, it's true. So true, Sonny.
That is laser accurate.
Yeah.
it's incredible. Yeah, he couldn't want less trouble.
Yeah.
Everything that happens to him, except for like the finale of this movie, is just he's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Well, let's go over it, because the premise of this movie is nonsensical.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense.
Should we read what Jackie has to say about it?
Of course.
It's the last movie he covers in his book.
Oh, really?
So I don't know what he wrote. Shanghai Noon, 2000. My big Y2K film. This is the Eastern Western that I'd originally called West West when I was going to do it in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Now that it's a Hollywood movie, I think Shanghai Noon works perfectly. I play a palace guard of the Qing Dynasty sent to recover a kidnapped princess in America. During the course of saving the Lady Fair, I somehow end up getting married twice. Anyone who says Jackie Chan isn't a romantic had better think again. Cast! Holy shit! Holy shit! This is cast still to be determined.
Oh, whoa.
Vince Vaughn of Swingers.
Whoa.
And Lucy Liu.
So Vince Vaughn was going to be the Owen Wilson character?
That's crazy.
Yes, holy shit.
That is insane. That is...
Wait, is that a better movie?
I kind of think it is. They're so similar,
though. I think
though.
He's better than Owen Wilson.
They're so similar.
They're both that they're sleepy and, like, quick. They're quick, sleepy men.
But they would say... I think they would talk the same way. Like, the same way of, like, trying to get out of your situation and just being
I
like...
agree.
Why are those two guys, like, so connected?
It's a Wedding Crashers mix-up!
Yeah.
They literally play, like, best friends in their biggest movie!
And
yeah.
And Luke Wilson is with Vince Vaughn in, what's that movie? The one with Will Ferrell and the boy Blue.
Oh, old school.
Old grown up.
Old
Daddy's
school.
Home.
Yeah, old school.
Daddy's Home too. God damn.
That,
but yeah,
that's crazy.
This is a gibberish movie.
We are breaking Hollywood secrets and folklore.
Oh, another secret that I fucking read. They're going to make a third Shanghai movie.
Why?
Oh, man.
I think it's called Shanghai Dawn. You said that, Sonny?
No. I'm just thinking about, like, this might be... Well, I guess I don't know their ages, but I think Owen Wilson actually looks younger than Jackie Chan does right now.
Owen Wilson is younger than Jackie Chan.
By how much?
Probably
like
considerably, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This was 2000. Jackie was born in, like, 1952.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan is older than the man who plays his uncle, I'm pretty sure, in this movie.
Hmm. You think so?
No, he's like probably like 10 years younger, or like 5 years younger.
Yeah.
Just because that man has that wispy beard doesn't mean that he's that much older than Jackie Chan. Sonny, tell the people, give a little more information about this crazy piece of shit.
So, fuck, where do I even start? So, Jackie's a palace guard. And the princess gets, like, human trafficked to America.
Princess Ping Ping? What's her name?
Pei Pei?
Pei
Pei, yeah.
Pei Pei. Ping Ping, oh my god.
By another one of the...
panda.
By another one of the palace guards to, like, work on the railroad or something?
She gets taken to America under false pretenses and is told that, like, she's gonna be free, like, she doesn't have
to... she's told ransom.
Yeah, and then the guy asks for 1,000 or 10,000 gold pieces.
100,000.
Oh, it's 100,000
pieces.
Okay,
it's a lot of gold.
That
pieces.
Is a lot.
For all, and they're from the Hidden City, right?
The Forbidden City.
Yeah, the Forbidden City. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Jackie travels to America, and tries to free her, where he runs into Roy O'Bannon.
Owen Wilson. I like that name.
Yeah, kinda. It's a good name. That's a good name.
Roy
O'Bannon. And they get into hijinks.
But with after
basically.
A very young Walton Goggins kicks Owen Wilson out of his own gang.
Yeah.
That gave me a lot of hope for our careers, guys, because that means Walton Goggins was playing bit parts 17 years ago, and now he's a big star.
Yeah.
Like, he could be grinding for almost 20 years before he makes it. Like, not that he... To be in that movie like that, I'm sure it takes a lot of work before.
Yeah.
But now, not that he's a household name now, but now he's like a lead in movies.
Yeah.
Like a lead in Tarantino films.
Yeah, but he's always kind of been... I've seen him in other things. I can't think of... I know that I've seen him around even before he was in The Hateful Eight. Like, he wasn't a no-name who came along. He wasn't like the...
Well, he was always like a perennial, like, that guy in movies.
He was on The Shield, wasn't he? In Sons of Anarchy, and then he was big in Justified. He was in FX.
Justified,
I think he was married.
The
I think he was married to Michael Chiklis for a time.
What?
In real life.
In real life. From their Shield
days.
You
know who would be a funny person to marry him? Gail Godot. So she could be Gail Godot Goggins. if she were to hyphenate. She wouldn't be. Yeah, she's going to marry a Jew.
She's already married
with a child.
To who?
I don't know, an Israeli person, probably.
Oh, is it?
Probably.
Yeah. But she's married, real happy about
and
that.
And her husband lets her dress like that?
What?
Her husband lets her dress like that? She's married. So Jackie, is this woman Jackie's cousin? I was a little confused about
this.
Which
woman?
I don't
think so. Pepe?
No, Pepe, they have like a love thing at the end.
Yeah.
I know, but so Jackie's uncle is the one who sends him to America to get
her. Jackie's uncle is the one who goes with him to America.
Right.
He's like, he's a palace guard.
He's the one that gets shot.
And killed.
Yeah. I thought that was Pepe's dad.
No, that's just a guy. It's just kind of like he's the interpreter or the.
Yeah.
Oh, and that kind of makes sense. That's why Jackie knows perfect English, because his uncle is the interpreter.
I thought he learned perfect English from watching Pepe learn English.
That doesn't really make any. That's what I thought, but this makes a lot more sense.
It does make more sense.
They don't really go into it. They don't explain it in the movie, but this is a lot more logical than he's just been creeping on Pepe, have this lesson forever, and knows exactly what they're saying because of it.
Sonny, you talk.
When was this? Oh, I was asking when this movie is set. So it's late 1800s.
1888.
Yeah. So
I remember seeing the
Chiron. The beginning of this movie is actually like feels pretty authentic when they're in the Forbidden City, and I don't know if they shot that on a set or if they actually went to shoot
to
it
to
the there,
Forbidden City.
Yeah, it looks
didn't
pretty
the
legit.
Dude from the. Didn't the dude from like 30 Seconds? Didn't Jared Leto like he was the first people to shoot there or something? Because he did that music
that's
video.
That's the worst.
Jared Leto was the guy who made it Unforbidden.
That's a pretty crazy statement.
I could be wrong, but he did shoot a video there. I remember when we were like 18 or 19, and everyone was talking about it on TRL. Of all things.
Okay, so then. Jackie comes to America, and they're all on this train. And that's where Owen Wilson's gang robs the train.
Yeah. And his gang is very bad, because they don't have names as far as I know.
And they hired Walton Goggins for that specific job, and he ends up shooting Jackie's uncle.
Yeah, that's... This was dumb. That was like a really dumb thing to give. He's like the wild. Walton Goggins is like the wild card for whatever reason.
Because he's from Texas.
There's a shot against Texas in this. I guess because Nevadians are so awesome.
Yeah. They're just like, why is this guy so crazy? And it's like, we got him from Texas. It's a big joke.
And so Goggins is the wild card who shoots Jackie's uncle in the belly after Owen Wilson, like, see, now this would be this was charming 20 years ago, where Owen Wilson goes up to the woman that he's robbing and is like, sorry about that. You feel, I know it's really scary to get robbed. We robbed Pelaces naked last time. It gets really warm. It's kind of exciting though, isn't it? And she's like, yeah, kinda. Like, flirting with your victim super fucked
up. Yeah, now it feels very like this woman feels like she has to say to appease him, or else she's gonna get shot.
Every Jackie movie has been problematic in some way so far.
I think that's just the nature of comedy and society. It's always problematic.
That's another thing I was thinking about. This movie might have been better 17 years ago, because just comedy has changed so much in 17 years.
Yeah.
I wrote in college a paper for some class about how I think Anchorman kind of changed the concept of a comedy in a lot of ways. Where comedy before that was very story-driven, with characters making jokes in between. And then a lot of movies now are about the jokes with story kind of as a tying thing to jokes.
Well, so I also,
a movie like, yeah.
I also think that, like, action comedy is kind of immune from that sort of thing. Right? Mm. Because it's, like, it's independent from the story already. And I think that if done correctly, which is why, like, this, I don't think a lot of the action comedy scenes in this were as funny as the ones in his Hong Kong movies, because they're not focused on the comedy part. Or the action part, really.
Or the action. The action scenes are not focused on the action.
Yeah.
Well, the action in this versus like what we've seen of Jackie, it's like a real downgrade. Like,
oh yeah,
hugely.
I would reshoot fight scenes in my head based on how I think it would have gone if Jackie had directed them.
How cool the Native American fight scene would be if Jackie Chan was in charge of the scene. Fuck,
you don't,
it would have been so cool them fighting in the...
You don't think he was? This movie was produced by his company.
I don't think he was the stunt coordinator, dude.
Why wouldn't he be? Why?
Because it's America. He doesn't have the same... He doesn't have the same power here that he does there.
But
his production company is listed as third on the production company bill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, while on the train, Jackie's uncle gets killed, and Jackie, just wrong place, wrong time, as always, goes into the car to find his uncle dying, and then starts a pretty good, like, action scene against O'Bannon and the boys.
Yeah.
Which ends in Walton Goggins turning on his boss, O'Bannon, and Jackie Chan, and, like... I guess, like, stranding them just by dislocating the train cars.
Yeah,
right.
No,
so
he, like,
Jackie
kidnaps O'Bannon.
Yeah, Jackie just detaches the train cars and, like, floats away while O'Bannon gets captured, and then that's where they bury him.
Did you guys want to see that scene of O'Bannon with the three ladies end in a cum shot?
I did not.
I wanted to see if you're a full 30-minute porno.
I wanna bring up a scene that's very important, and it brings up our first authenticity ambassador question of the podcast.
Oh,
that's
okay.
No one.
That's me.
Oh,
that's Sonny.
Oh yeah, we're all.
Didn't we go over this?
We're all ambassadors.
I'm the brand ambassador. Sonny's on.
Get into it.
Authenticity ambassador.
I thought Sonny was ambassador of the Far East.
No, that was a weirdly racist thing that you said.
It's the same thing.
It might be the same thing, but you should probably never say that again. For everyone's sake.
Okay.
For the sake of the podcast, never say it again. So
can't promise that.
So Lucy Liu is brought to the bad guy, I don't know his name, by the American tutor, and
I wrote his name down.
Lo Feng.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
He was good.
So,
he was a good. I think he did a good
so
job.
So he gets brought there. The guy is leaves him money on the table. He goes and grabs it, and then he takes out his gun, and he points it at Lo Feng, and he's just like, "Now you got to give me double, or else I'm gonna shoot the girl." And Lo Feng takes a clam, like a clam and a half shell. He sucks it up. And then he stabs the ambassador, or the translator, in the throat, and goes, "The one thing you don't know about the Chinese is we don't renegotiate." Sonny, is that true? Is that a true fact?
I said the same thing. Ask Sonny about it.
I've never heard that being a thing. I think he just made that up.
He just made
it. Because, like,
well, is it because
from what I understand, my parents love negotiating.
They're renegotiating.
Negotiating and renegotiating.
What does that mean?
Because that means to, like, to go back on your deal.
See, you don't even know what it means, Sonny. It's true.
It seems like it just means, well, I mean, no one likes to renegotiate.
But they don't do it.
It's not
at all.
It's not about liking to.
I don't
nobody.
Think that's a thing. I think he made that up.
Sonny, you didn't know what renegotiate means, and you're a very smart man. I think that this is one of those words culturally that doesn't exist in Chinese.
Yeah, I know, for sure. I think maybe he misunderstood it as well.
The line might actually be the Chinese don't negotiate. It honestly might even be that. Yeah, that was crazy. I love.
I thought
that
you were
going
to ask me if that clam thing was a custom.
Stabbing somebody in the throat with a clam in the half shell.
Do you usually rip people's throats out with clams?
No, I really wanted to know. He was very serious about the fact that it was a very Chinese thing to do, to not.
We should also add, I guess, that the person that transported, is it Pepe?
Yeah.
Who transported Pepe, I guess, was like her butler of like a long time.
He's like a friend, I guess. He looks like he's somewhat her age. He's probably some English, British translator who teaches her English, a tutor or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I assumed also, because no ages were mentioned, I assumed she was like 16 years old. If it's like 1888, this is like a child.
But it's
no, because wasn't it, she was supposed to get married to like a 13-year-old.
To a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like weird regardless, but I think the age difference would have been bigger for it to be.
I think it was westernized, because I bet that there were lots of women that were married off at way too young ages back
then.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't think that guy was 12. He had a very, very established eyebrow. I don't think you could get that established of an eyebrow at 12 years old.
No. Did you guys get very Snake and Eagle Shadows, Snake and Eagle Shadow, like, vibes from the beginning of this movie? Like, that guy reminds me of the shitty fat magistrate's son.
I felt the exact same way.
And also Jackie cleaning the floors.
I thought I
recognize that too.
This is Chance Blaine, where we know a lot about Jackie Chan movies and can talk about things from 40 years ago.
More,
we're getting on the path, guys. We know more about Jackie Chan than anybody in our states.
Yeah, probably.
Than this United States.
Well, New York is pretty big.
And there's a lot of. I talked to my uncle about, my uncle is actually an enormous Kung Fu film fan from the 70s and 80s. Like, he'd go to Times Square when it was, like, porn theaters and, like, double features of Kung Fu movies.
Yeah.
And first I explained to him what a podcast was. and he's like, that sounds really interesting. Can I be on your podcast? And then I was like, I don't know. He would have a lot of interesting things to contribute, but I don't see him very much, and he's very unstable. He's a mentally unstable man.
I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Once every 5 years.
I don't think
he
can find this podcast.
No, he straight up doesn't know how the internet works. He's not a well man.
Here's an interesting thought experiment that I randomly thought of when I was watching this movie. If Westworld were to exist, do you think people would go there and be like, give me the Shanghai Noon treatment?
What does that even mean?
They want to be Jackie Chan?
Yeah, or Owen Wilson, I guess.
Wait, so...
they're already Obama.
You think...
I guess, yeah.
You think that they have...
Yeah, I
they
guess
have...
be Jackie Chan.
I don't think so, Sonny. That's a great question, but I have to say no. I think they could probably go to Shanghai, like to Forbidden City, if they wanted to. Forbidden City World.
Well, wasn't that kind of what they teased at the end of Westworld?
I don't know. Westworld sucks. I stopped paying attention. I don't care. Westworld's the worst show in the world.
This isn't...
So,
sorry.
No, Jordan, say what you were going to
say. I was going to say, this isn't the Westworld podcast. This is the Jackie Chan
world.
so I think that there were a lot of jokes that did not age well in this movie, and other things that didn't age well, like the fact that they use Kid Rock's cowboy. Definitely,
yes,
you're skipping so far ahead. But talk.
But
about
I just want to say that there are some funny lines in this movie. Like when the,
oh yeah,
like those wagon family, they're looking at like the Chinese warriors, and they're just like, oh, they don't look like any. They say a racial term.
Oh, Jordan,
that
out,
I won't I say, but they yeah. they don't look like
so
Native Americans I've
Bob
seen.
Mueller shut
and they're like,
down.
Well, of course not.
So
they're
Sonny
Jews.
And I are gonna have to continue without him.
I believe he was gonna talk about the they're Jewish, honey. Line.
Yeah, they're just. This dude just sees these three guys that came with Jackie doing kung fu, and he's like, they don't look like any Indian I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just use the word. And then they go, well, they're not Indians. They're Jews.
Yeah.
And then later he says shalom to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I don't understand how he does it. He's never seen a Jew, but he knows the word shalom. I'll accept it.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
It was funny. Okay.
Do you guys think the representation of Native Americans in this is problematic? Cause I didn't really particularly. I was expecting it like hardcore, but
no, totally neutral. Fine.
I thought
yeah,
it was.
I agree.
Better. I thought it was kind of the best that could be expected for the year 2000
in the world ever.
Yeah, because like they, it seemed like they cast all indigenous people for those roles, except for the weird fact that they, his wife's name on IMDb is Indian wife.
Oh, she's not named.
Yeah.
Oh, she is. That's she weird. Is Indian wife. Yeah, I saw that too.
In my notes, I referred to her as child bride, because I also assumed she was very young.
She didn't seem like she was young. Yes.
She didn't seem that young. She was taller than Jackie, but I mean, I don't.
Well, Jackie's
know
not very tall.
They had yeah. a funny.
Well, either way, Jackie's.
Yeah.
Did we discuss how they got married?
No, you skipped us ahead like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
After, okay, so O'Bannon gets like captured by his crew and they bury him in the sand. So up to like, so his neck is the only thing above the sand and vultures are picking at him. And Jackie finds him. And, oh yeah, Jackie's name is also Chun
it's
Wang.
It's John Wayne.
Yeah, which sounds, over
Chun Wayne. Chun it sounds Wayne. Like John Wayne. And he talks to Owen Wilson and is like, I need to get to Carson City, where he thinks that Pepe is being held.
Yeah.
And Owen Wilson goes, oh, it's over there. Now help me, dig me out of here. I helped you like find whatever you're going. So Jackie Chan gives him a pair of chopsticks, which Owen Wilson then has to use with his mouth to dig himself out, which would not work.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No.
You couldn't do it. Probably one of the vultures would come and take them away.
Yeah. These are my chopsticks now.
Yum, 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 yum. There's no, yeah, there's no way. And then Jackie in his travels finds water because he's been thirsty. He's walking through the desert. And then he's chased by six Native Americans who give chase. And there's, what would you, how many, for a miniature, how many troubles, how many don't want any troubles would you give that fight scene?
He wanted a lot of trouble.
Well, I think he was trying to protect the girl, right?
Oh no, I just meant how many like
oh yeah,
like,
I
this is a microcosm. Out of five,
I forgot.
Like, would you say this is a good fight? Or
I forgot
fight?
This was a confusing system we have good. Going.
Okay. I think this is a 3. I would give this a 3.
Yeah, me too. Totally, it's the best one in the movie, I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah. So Jackie manages to fight off six of them, and as he's like captured by the tribe, a kid vouches for him, saying that he beat six of our guys. He's super tough. We should like love him instead of killing him.
Right.
So they have a big party, and Jackie smokes that ganja.
Yeah.
He goes in on. He gets blasted. Native American.
And then he fucks a teenager.
Yeah, well, he has sex with the and gets married to the daughter of the main dude. I don't want to. Is he the chief?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive to get married to the daughter of the chief.
Yeah, it was kind of gross how at one point when Jackie's being like forced into marriage, his he's like no, and his like new wife is like he wasn't complaining last night, which she says to her dad.
Yeah.
Well,
that is very weird.
Well, but isn't it, like, kind of saying that the culture is just like, you fight well, so you get to, like, you have to, like, marry and fornicate with my daughter. Isn't that kind of, like, already implied?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess so. She was, I liked the daughter. She was fun. She didn't really, like, do anything but save. She's like Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, she constantly saved them.
Yeah, she was very important.
She was like, she was a built-in Deus Ex Machina for the whole movie.
Yeah. So Jackie continues on the path now with his, was she, she was with him, right? Or
yeah.
She was following him, I guess?
Yeah,
kind of.
Generally together.
But he goes to what he thinks is Carson City. It's not. It's like Deadwood or something. Some like dinky fucking town.
Yeah.
And he meets up with O'Bannon again. And O'Bannon is caught cheating at poker with like a weird Travis Bickle-esque like slingshot machine of cards in his wrist, which starts a brawl. And of course Jackie, not wanting any trouble, kicks a lot of ass.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say this. The one thing I noticed about this movie from its fight scenes versus every other movie we've seen is this. The only difference, his Jackie Chan's big one-up from all of his Hong Kong movies, is instead of having a big fight scene where all these people are fighting and it's two distinct sides, in this movie, every big fight is three distinct sides where everybody's fighting each other, and Jackie and Owen are like on their own side against everybody and conflicting people. So they're fighting against everybody and fighting for themselves at the same time.
Oh yeah. It's very Hollywood in that way.
It's
like they all have their own silly motivations.
Yeah. But they're fighting the big enemy at the same time as they're fighting friends, you know? In this fight scene, they're fighting each other and fighting the big enemy around them. And in the latest, the last fight scene, they're fighting both good guys who they don't agree with, and they're fighting the big bad guy at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, it was that end fight scene was, I think, a little too cluttered for my taste.
Yeah,
my taste. They get arrested for, I guess, disturbing the peace, and Jackie gets them out of jail after like a little bit of bonding with Owen Wilson by peeing on his shirt, and then using
as a
device to pry open bars from the.
I
cage
wrote
there.
This line down. When the shirt gets wet, it doesn't break. What the fuck is that?
I think it might be harder to rip a wet shirt.
I think it's physics.
What he's saying.
Sonny.
This is a C++ student. We've got to take him serious. So he does that. I wrote down a line. After they break through one thing of bars, they have to do another. And Jackie, Owen's like, okay, put the shirt on. Jackie goes, it's too dry. I can't do it. And Owen Wilson says, juice it up.
Yeah, Owen Wilson's
dialogue juice it up.
Is very bad.
He's pretty funny in this. I actually think Owen Wilson is charming in this movie
a lot
of the time. I liked him.
I like that set piece, though, where they get out of the jail and they, they get through one bar, and then Jackie's wife pulls the door or the wall off, and then the guard comes in to be like, what's going on? And they're like in the middle of bars, so then they have to like, they beat him up and then escape that way.
Yeah, there's another funny sequence of dialogue I wrote where Owen Wilson sees his wife and he's like, who's that? And he goes, this is my wife.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, how long have you been in the country? 4 days. He's like, God damn. Like, nice, man.
And then...
because his wife is very
And
pretty.
Then he, after that scene, he immediately starts to try and woo her away from Jackie.
Yeah.
Well, he knows. I thought it was cool that they at least made Jackie a guy who has sex in this. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking he at least got somewhat sexualized, which is nice. I wish he showed a little more dong, but can't beggars can't be choosers. And by a little, I mean just the tip of the head. I could have used the tip
from behind, so you know.
Yeah, so you know it. Like, it's the beginning scene of... Is that Shame?
Yeah, yeah, the Fassbender.
Jack just peeing to the bottom of his dick. That'd be so funny. I guess something that's different about O'Bannon and Jackie in this movie is that after they become friends, O'Bannon is like, he initially wants to go to rescue Pepe because of the gold.
Yeah,
yeah.
That they brought with him. But he pretty quickly actually starts to like Jackie and like is sort of a friend to him, and I think has a real distinct affection towards him in a way that I didn't expect.
Well, Jackie's a very likable guy. He's doing the right thing. He's really trying to save the princess, and when you're around that, even at the very beginning, he's not... I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he does bad stuff, but he doesn't want to kill anybody. He doesn't want to hurt people. He just wants to rob stuff.
And fuck. Rob and fuck.
Yeah, that is just like Robin Thicke.
I was going to say, remember that TV show on MTV, Rob and Fuck? And then it became Fantasy Fuck Factory?
Yeah, I do remember that on MTV.
It was cool. 2009 was weird.
I feel like, so that, I think that character decision kind of undercuts the reveal at the end, where Jackie was, like, vacillating on, well, where he, like, Jackie thinks that he took the gold.
Yeah.
But you're kind of supposed to, I don't know how hard you're actually supposed to wonder. It's like them wondering if Han Solo is coming back at the end of A New Hope.
But they give you 5 seconds of it, or probably less than 5 seconds of it at the end of the movie. Like, you don't even have to, like, worry that he's gonna come back.
Yeah, I feel like then that, like, renders that whole thing kind of pointless anyway.
But
Jordan, it comes your Kid Rock scene.
Yeah, so Jackie is teaching Owen Wilson how to like fight, and Owen Wilson is teaching Jackie how to shoot guns. They're like doing this like training montage very close to all the like Stake of the Shadows, and it just,
this is a bad montage though.
Yeah,
it is so lazy. It's like it's just them jumping over sticks.
Yeah.
And I mean, Owen Wilson's being kind of funny where he's like spitting his gun. He's like, there's one gun, there's two guns, there's two guns at the same time. Yeah. Look at it. I'm Owen Wilson.
Yeah, but it's not a really good scene, and Kid Rock's cowboy really ruins it. Really makes it worse.
Would we hate Kid Rock if not, would we still like think so low of him if he wasn't such like a Trump supporter?
He was already being made fun of, like in Silicon Valley episode 1, which is way before Trump.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I also think like the version of Kid Rock that's not pro Trump is probably like, actually, I don't know. Have we heard anything bad about Fred Durst?
Yeah, yes. he killed that woman.
But he's a big...
Oh, really? Is he in jail?
Yeah, they made a whole HBO documentary about him.
Oh, God.
Oh my God!
Boom!
You son of a
got
bitch.
You.
Oh, that was
you're so I'm so mad.
I'm so mad at you. Fred Durst, the real Fred Durst, is kind of a creep, and he's a director now.
Is he?
He makes B movies. Yeah. Oh. I Wikipedia'd him a couple months ago, and I sucked his dick. They eventually get to Carson City. This is when I stopped taking notes so carefully, because like this movie, I was like, this isn't gonna get better.
Yeah.
This is only as we wind down, like, it's only gonna get worse.
It gets more convoluted somehow.
They're wanted again, and they get. There's a like a pretty good scene that I actually did like, where O'Bannon and the sheriff, who had a good name, I don't remember his name.
Oh, Nathan Van Cleef.
Van Cleef.
And Van Cleef are gonna draw at like high noon, like Shanghai noon, and Jackie is gonna draw with another guy, but Jackie doesn't have a gun. He only has a rope that's attached to a horseshoe.
Oh my!
And like Jackie.
I just realized that this was a portmanteau, but The title was
Shanghai Noon.
Yeah, I really did not realize that until just now.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I don't expect much more of a C++ student.
It really feels like they walked backwards from that name, too, and made a movie around it.
Well, it wanted to be West West. It was originally West West, as we read. Which is gibberish. It doesn't mean anything.
What? Yeah. It could be Western West? The West? I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. Anyway, there's a double draw scene. Jackie beats his guy with a horseshoe, which is, like, impressive. But Owen Wilson is gonna draw against a dude who he knows is a better gunslinger than him. And that I actually thought was funny again. It was Owen Wilson's inner monologue where he's like, "You got this, O'Bannon. You got this. Have faith in yourself." He's like, "I'm gonna get shot and killed today. I'm gonna die. I can't do it." He's like, "Don't think like that. It'd be like power of positive thinking. Oh shit, he's gonna shoot me in the chest. I'm gonna die."
And I think the
Jackie saves the day.
Yeah, the problem with this fight scene is that both of the I guess fights that we were intercutting between, they're paced way differently, so it just like kind of messed up the whole flow of it, I think.
Yeah, it's not like it's not jumping between two equal fights. I kind of agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, you have this like frantic pace with Jackie, and you have this very still thing with Owen Wilson. They're always very still, his fights, because he's not an action star. He's just some Jamal.
Yeah.
So we also learn if they get captured again. Just I don't even remember how, but they get captured.
Yeah.
And then we learn Pepe, in like the camp she is. She's like brought out onto the main like work labor camp plate, like the main place where they're doing all the labor, and she's told that if she tries to run away, the dude's gonna kill one person for every day she's gone. And I was like, this fucking War for the Planet of the Apes stole this. That's War for Planet of the Apes.
I've
kind of seen that in other things.
This is first.
I think that that's just kind of a common trope.
I think you might be right. I think you're right, George.
It's like hostage negotiate. It's like hostage negotiating 101. It's like for every, if you do anything, we're gonna kill one person, and then we're gonna kill two people, and then.
Yeah. I hear you. So they are gonna be hanged. Jackie and O'Bannon. I don't say Owen Wilson, I say O'Bannon. And they're about to hang at noon again, I guess.
Yeah.
They're going to hang high noon. And then Jackie... Oh, this is the weirdest thing in this movie. Jackie can talk to his horse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he learns that.
His ability...
He learns that from the son of the chief.
But it's crazy. He can communicate with his horse after like a day and a half. He can like speak to it. So he makes his horse come, causes a commotion. Then his 12-year-old wife shoots out the rope. O'Bannon's.
Yeah, but only O'Bannon's one, because Jackie can get out on his own.
Yeah.
She knows what he's packing in those legs. She knows.
So I think
she's like.
I think that's what it is, though. I think the wife literally exists as a deus ex machina, just for Owen Wilson's
to
character.
Save O'Bannon.
Because Jackie can do all the things on his own. He doesn't need to be. He can get out of the jail on his own. He can do everything. He doesn't need anything.
Yeah.
It's only Owen Wilson who really needs to be saved.
It is weird. It feels maybe like it was added on at the end, just for some sex appeal.
Maybe.
Also, like, oh, we could have her help O'Bannon, and then they can fuck at the end, which I guess happens.
Do either of you...
So they get...
Do either of you have any idea what that Chinese drinking game is? How do you win? How do you lose?
I think they made it up.
You think it's made up for the movie? It's just gibberish?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
not even Chinese.
I bet Jackie and his stuntman did it.
It's not even Chinese. It's just like something that sounds like... It's like Chinese gibberish.
Yeah, but...
They're like making faces at each other.
They're making faces, but it kind of looks like Thumper or whatever that game is, where you like bang on the table and make you make different like things with your hands and
thing.
That's kind of what it reminded me of. I'm not saying that the what they were saying made sense, but the kind of the act of it seemed familiar.
It's supposed to be, I just was reading about it on my telephone. It's supposed to be like whoever fucks up first has to take a drink. It's sort of like it's like you're right, Thumper. It's like Truck Driver and Screech and stuff like that. It's one of those games.
Okay.
I think that Jackie made it up.
Probably.
He made it up on the spot.
All right, we should start rapping because it's getting...
Yeah.
We're getting in there.
It's getting in there. Yeah, I agree. This is... Okay, to... What ends up... this And like right after this is when we pretty much enter the third act because Jackie and Owen have a fight because while in a brothel... Jackie overhears Owen saying that he can't be his friend, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie makes it. Did I miss? If I missed it, did Owen Wilson say he couldn't be Jackie's friend because he was Chinese?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because the prostitute like implied that, and he was just like, yeah.
I felt that's fucked up. I wasn't sure. I thought Jackie was making it racial when it wasn't.
No, it was. It was
for a second, and I missed that.
It was literally she used the term Chinaman, and Owen Wilson repeated it and said he wasn't he wouldn't be friends with him because of it.
Fun fact: The Foreigner is a book that is called The Chinaman.
Oh, really?
And then they changed it because it's like not fit for movies.
Oh, yeah, my God. It's not the preferred nomenclature.
I think you're right about that, Sonny. I think you'd be. So this starts like the third act where Jackie goes to rescue Pei himself. Doesn't go well, and Owen Wilson has to bail him out. I think this is a big reason why the movie fails in like a little bit for me is because the Dark Knight of the Soul of the buddies being separate is like a 3-minute scene, and also it's just paced. The movie's paced wrong. Like it's such a front-loaded movie.
It doesn't make any sense.
That we.
It. No. Why? Okay, so Jackie gets saved by Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson has a gun on the main bad guy. I forget his name.
Yeah.
And then Jackie jumps on the horse, runs away with Owen Wilson.
Crap that again.